Okay, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, the only place in the world that does Greek Club quite like this. Is that a fair thing to say, do you think? I've never heard it anywhere else. Galatians. We are reading St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we are in chapter 2, and I believe we are at about verse, I'm turning to it right now myself, verse 9. We had some anakaluthia last week, where Paul starts a sentence one way grammatically and then ends it another and so forth. But we made our way through that, and I think we were about to take up verse 9. And so that's where we'll start. And I'll read and then make a few comments, and we'll just have a great time at Greek Club. So, all right, verse 9. Galatians 2:9. Kai gnantas tein karin tein da theson moi. Iakobos kai Kephas kai Ioannes, hoi dokuntas stuloi enai, dexias edokan emoi kai Barnaba koinoneas, hina hemes eis ta ethne, autoide eis tein peritamein. So we start with a participle from ginosko, aorist participle, gnantes, masculine plural nominative. And the referent to the participle would be James, Cephas, and John, the subjects of the main verb, right? So if you did it woodenly, and knowing the grace, now we have the article and the aorist participle passive of didomi, dotheison. The sixth principal part of didomi, anybody happen to remember that? Edothane, right. And so you get the doth stem. And then you pray, and then you parse it accurately, right? So, prayer and fasting. So the grace, the having been given to me one. And so the article shows that the participle directly modifies the noun, charin, grace. So, and knowing the grace which was given to me, or perhaps had been given to me, James and Cephas and John. Now, in apposition, we have the article plus a participle from dokeo. And we saw last week that dokeo can mean to think, or it can also mean to seem, right? And probably here, the latter. Those who seem pillars to be. A stelos is a pillar, okay, like in a temple, right? By the way, Richard Baucom, in his work on this text, thinks that this may be an allusion to the church as the temple of God, that the leading apostles in Jerusalem would be called pillars. That's an interesting guess, but more exegesis and theology than grammar. So to seem to be a pillar, right? And now we finally get to the main verb, edokon, again from didomi. And remember, the third principal part is edoka, so this is an aorist, not a perfect, even though it has a kappa in the stem. So they gave, literally, dexias, right hands. It's plural, because it's the object of the verb edokon. So gave to me and Barnabas right hands, and now you got to go all the way to the end of the clause, of fellowship. Right? And they did that for a purpose. So the henna clause would modify the main verb edokon. They gave in order that we, that is Paul and Barnabas, unto the Gentiles, but they, or and they, unto the circumcision. And so a great example of how Greek just leaves out everything that it thinks is obvious, and you just fill in the gap from the context. Now, the one thing that we might go back and clean up is the very first participle at the beginning of verse 9. And you could take that participle, which is in predicate position in relation to the referent, James, Cephas, and John. You could take it temporally or causally. It would make good sense. So, after they had known, or because they had known, the grace which was given to me. James and Cephas and Barnabas, those who seem to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas, in English we normally say the right hand, but literally, right hands of fellowship. Now, Dr. Seleska and I are currently in protest because we're both left-handed. And we take this as something that we should be offended at, and we're going to file a lawsuit. In other words, we're Americans, right? In order that we might go to the Gentiles, but they to the circumcision. Okay.
Dr. Gibbs, is it
yes.
possible that the henna clauses are nominal clauses with an implied subjunctive form of amy? In order that we may be to the Gentiles.
In order that we may be to the Gentiles. What would that mean, Finn?
It's a great question.
Thank you. That's my job, is to ask good questions. So.
Well, then there's the question of what's the force of the data.
Which data?
Or I guess it would be unto, we may be unto the nation.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably fill in the gap in a number of different ways. But
in the sense of it is obvious.
Yeah, you've got aposteloing going on all over the place. You know, so again, in order that we might be sent or that we might go on ace ta ethne to the Gentiles, something like that maybe. So, but I think the clause here is probably purpose. Right. Okay, good. Other comments or questions about that? A little bit of a long sentence, but we made our way through it. So one participle on the front, in predicate position, and then the main verb, gave, and then a henna clause, right? So, actually not a bad Greek sentence. So, just try reading Josephus sometime. He just goes on for line after line after line. Okay, now, what a surprise, verse 10 is a little elliptical. Paul leaves stuff out. So let's read it, and then we'll figure out a little bit. Manan ton ptachon, henna ne manu omen, ha kai espudaza auta tuta poiesai. So literally, this doesn't make any sense. Only of the poor, in order that we might remember, which also I hastened or was eager to do the very thing. Or thus, let's see. Yeah, the thing itself, something like that. So what are we going to do this? We have to supply something like, and it's typically supplied, only they asked. I think that's the way it's often sort of made sense of it. And now we have an interesting thing. This ton ptachon is probably genitive because, well, who can guess why it's genitive? This is kind of not an easy one. Jim? Yeah, the verb nemoneuo, to remember, takes a genitive object. Okay, some verbs don't take an accusative object, right? And this is called, you've got to have a Greek grammatical term for everything, this is called prolepsis. That is, the object of the verb in the henna clause has actually been fronted, it's actually put in front of the entire clause for emphasis. Okay? So you might translate it, only they asked that we remember the poor, really strong. And of course, when you read Paul's epistles, like 1st, 2nd Corinthians, it's mentioned in Romans, the collection, this is probably a reference to the collection that Paul took among the Gentile churches in Asia Minor and in Macedonia and Achaia in order to help the lowly ones in Jerusalem and in the mother church. And so it actually is an important event. Paul sees this as part of his priestly service to God and the church. The grammarians normally take poor as the object of the verb inside the henna clause. And you see this from time to time where the object or sometimes the subject of the verb inside a clause is actually yanked in front of it as a way of emphasizing it. So there was an example of that actually in Galatians 1, but we won't look back at it. So something like this, only they asked that we remember the poor, which also I eagered, or I hastened, or I was eager. This is from spudazo, and it's a weak aorist form. The zeta goes to sigma, and then you have the alpha connecting vowel. Spudasa, I hastened, poiesai, from poieo, to do, this thing, and not only this thing, but auta tuto, this very thing. Okay? All right, so once again, a little ellipsis, but we can make sense of it. Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
I have a question maybe bigger than this, but Paul said he was going to the Gentiles, and yet when you read Acts, he always went to the synagogues first.
Right,
Does
right.
that just kind of happens? I'm not sure how you would reconcile this.
Yeah, I mean, he calls himself the apostle to the Gentiles, right? And yet in Rome, and yet in Acts, it's always Jews first, or at least God-fearers, right? I'm not sure the best way to say it, actually.
Were the Jews in diaspora been considered Gentiles?
No, they're definitely Jews and regarded themselves as such. But see, even Paul himself, writing to Rome, right? It's the gospel is the power of salvation for the Jew first and also to the Greek, right? So Paul himself understands that for him to be the apostle to the Gentiles doesn't mean that he never witnesses to a Jewish person. Something like that.
And maybe in the scheme of things, that was the best way to even reach
right.
the Gentiles.
Right. It's just that, and I think sometimes we forget that it was such a breathtakingly unexpected thing to most Jews that, the Christ event would have meant, I mean, they knew that Jesus fulfilled the law, but they didn't understand the implications of that. See? That now, in terms of salvation history, the law, it now probably for the first time really becomes clear that the law of Moses was a temporary provision. And that, the old era is over. The new era of salvation history has begun, which is why even Jews don't have to keep the law of Moses anymore. They can if they want to, right? But the whole thing has been caught up in Christ and radically modify, which is why in the Small Catechism Luther can change the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, the meaning of the commandments. He changes them from what they originally meant in their Old Testament context, right? So the Fourth Commandment doesn't have any promise that we'll live long in North Dakota or something. Or even a nicer place like Oregon, where the Creator spent extra time. Is there any people here from North Dakota? I mean, maybe nobody listening? So, that's right. I mean, parts of Texas are very bleak, David. Even you have to admit that. You're a Texan.
Yeah, I know.
That's right. That's right. God just kind of zipped over West Texas.
Dr. Gibbs, I have a question.
Yes, David. Yep.
Okay, so if Al-Qa'at,
yes?
What is the Al-Qa'at? Is that clarifying, like, what this thing, and he says, like, from this thing to this very thing? Is
right.
that emphasis?
Well, yeah, it would be nice if we had an article, but with the pronoun tuta, we wouldn't expect one. Remember that let's see if I can say this right. The third person personal pronoun, autos, aute, auta, when it's used in conjunction with another word, in predicate position, it intensifies. And in attributive position, it means same. Okay? And the way to remember this is Dr. Veltz, when you see Dr. Veltz next time, say to him, ha aner autos. In predicate position, ha aner, the man, autos, the man himself. Okay? Now, if you wanted to say the same man, you'd say ha autos aner. All right? And since this is a pronoun, tuta is a pronoun, we take this as in predicate position, I think. So it's not just to do this, but it's to do this thing itself, or this very thing. So yeah, it intensifies. Yeah. And it's a funny rule. It actually, it's hard to remember. The only way that I've been able to remember it, actually, is to remember, because the word order in English and the word order in Greek is the same. Ha, aner, autos, the man himself, right? Actually, I'm going in right to left here. Or ha autos aner, the same man. So now that was free, no extra charge for that little.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Right. That's a mnemonic device, which is from Neiman Euo, which is here in the text in verse 10, which reminds me of verse 11. So all right, let's have. Greek club, can't live with it, can't live without it, right? Okay, end of incident when Paul goes up to Jerusalem for the second time. Verse 11, now we get to the famous Antioch incident. All right, verse 11. Hata de eothan kephas, eis antiakhean kata prosopon auto on estein. Hati kat egnos menas ein. This is not too bad. We have a temporal clause, but in context, de is adversative. But when Cephas came or went into Antioch, according to face, now who can tell me ant estein? What verb is that from?
Antistemi.
Yes, it's antistemi, but the rough breathing turns it into anthistemi. So if you looked it up, it would be anthistemi. Okay? And it's a strong aorist form. It means to oppose. Okay? And it's aorist, indicative, active, first singular. So I opposed, and you oppose someone in the dative, which explains auto. I opposed him according to face. That is, face to face or in public. Right? Why? Hati, because. And now we have kat egnos menas. Now this is a hard form. It's from kata genosko, which means to condemn. And it's from the fifth principal part. The fifth principal part of genosko, I know this because I'm very cool and I looked it up this morning, is egnosmai. So the epsilon actually functions as the duplication for the fifth principal part. So this is, ready? Perfect participle passive. Masculine singular nominative. And another clue, by the way, is that there's no connecting vowel. Perfect passive forms have no connecting vowels. So it egnos menos. And with ein, the imperfect, because he had been and was condemned. And then Paul explained why that's going on. And again, when you have a participle close to the linking verb like that, it's called what kind of a participle? Anybody? Periphrastic. That's what that construction is called, a linking verb and a participle. And it works kind of like English. I was coming. In this case, it's perfect. So, I was, he was having been condemned. I can say it that way. Okay?
Is that the form where there isn't a perfect? Or, I mean,
yes.
Form of it.
Yes, that's where the periphrastic form arises.
You is have that to use
the perfect? The perfect passive forms are so hard to make that Greek preferred to do it this way, and then the periphrastic construction expands out to other tenses. Right. Right. So. Okay. So now we have to get. This is a great sentence. We have some great imperfects. We'll at least whack away at it, and get started. So, verse 12. Pratugar elthein tinas apo yo Iacobu metaton ethnon sin estien. Patade elthon hip estelen kai aphorizen auton helton fabumenos tus ek peritomes. Oh, there's a lot in here. We'll just do part of it. So we have pra plus the genitive article, and then elthein is an infinitive, right? So we have pra plus the articular infinitive. This one's fairly easy to translate. Just take it with the preposition before, right? And who can tell me why tinos is accusative plural? Why is it accusative?
Because the infinitive.
It's the subject of the infinitive. This is the dreaded ACI construction, if you learn that terminology. If you don't, ignore it. So before the certain ones to come from James. That would be a wooden translation. Before certain people came from James, with the Gentiles, from sin estheo, imperfect indicative. Not just he ate, but he used to eat. Right? I mean, this is a great verse for showing that how the imperfect, when you can flex the nuances of the imperfect and not just an aorist indicative, you can really bring out some of the meaning. Peter was in the habit of eating with, together with, the Gentiles, right? Now, and then we'll just do this next to two clauses and we'll stop. But when they came, eothon, that could be first singular or third plural. But in context, it's those from James, right? But when they came, hip estelon, from hypostello, means to withdraw, imperfect. He began to withdraw, And from aphorizo, he began to separate himself. Now we'll just do this really fast. Participle, because he was fearing the of the circumcision guys. Tus ek peritimes. So it's a nice example of being able to give a particular nuance to a couple of imperfect indicatives. I think the translations often render them just as aorists, but you lose something by just rendering them that way. So, there's a little bit more we could mess. We could talk about why the passive of phobeo can take a direct object, but maybe we'll leave that for next week. That'd be really exciting next week. All right? Okay. Good. Thank you very much. Greek Club tomorrow, lectionary lunch at noon, and then Hebrew Club at noon. The summer learning is relentless.
Yeah.
That's right.
We just had, there's something in here. I'd be down here tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to be down here Thursday.
Okay. Right. So keep an eye out for the location, the slightly meandering location of lectionary lunch tomorrow.
And hopefully, sometime in June, there's supposed to be an AC.
There'll be a new air conditioning unit on the third floor, and we'll be in hog heaven, as the Methodists say.
It's July.
I actually don't know if the Methodists say that or not. But yeah, that's right, sure. Or probably Lutherans say that too sometimes. Very good.